The word intimacy is not something that we necessarily associate with our relationship with God all the time. We know that God loves us, and we know that the greatest commandment is that we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we know that there's got to be something. You know, I think I'm probably said it many, many times over the years that I've been your pastor. It's if Jesus loved us enough to die for us, we should at least love Him enough to live for Him. So that's all great, but really, we need to have a love for God that goes way above just saying, I love you. When you say, I love you to God, it should really mean something. And we were going to sing a song. Our second song in today's order was a song called The Goodness of God. And as I was thinking about what I was preaching on, the first few lines of the verses in that song are, I love you, Lord. And so I switched the order. And so we were going to end with You Are Good. We did You Are Good already. We're going to end today with The Goodness of God, so that when we sing, I love you, Lord, it kind of hits us, how much do I love God? Based on the fact of where I'm at in my walk with Him. And so, we're going to read a story today about a follower and a fan. Somebody that knew a lot about Jesus and somebody who wanted to really know Jesus because of what Jesus offered. So stand with me this morning as we read our scripture. Just raise your Bibles in the air and let's say our creed together. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 7 tells us the story of a Pharisee and a prostitute. Verse 36 starts like this. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who has the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray that we will all know that we have been forgiven of much. That no one is good enough to be your follower. No one is good enough to earn our salvation, but that we all come to you and our salvation is by faith, not of works. Help us to understand that it's more than just knowing about you, but it's really wanting to get close to you. And really wanting to experience your presence in our lives that will really make us a follower. Help us to see these things and put them to practice in our life. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, really quick, in this lesson, in this passage of Scripture, we read about two kinds of people. We read about somebody who knows a lot about the Bible. Simon was a Pharisee. He would have grown up in a, quote, Christian home. He would have memorized the first five books of the Old Testament by the time he was 12. He probably knew much more now in his life. But he had a very good educational understanding about who God was. And he ran across, in his path, he ran across Jesus, who was a rabbi in his own right. But he was a peculiar rabbi, kind of like we talked about last week. He chose disciples that weren't the normal kinds of people that you would choose to be your followers. He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors who, to most of the religious world, would have said, not worthy and not possible. And yet, Jesus did. So he invited Jesus to his house to eat. And in their custom, when someone came to your house, because they all wore sandals, they all walked wherever they went, your feet would be dirty. And so most of the time when you went to somebody's house, they would wash your feet. Or they would have one of their servants wash your feet. They would greet you with a, quote, holy kiss, just to tell you that they respected you or they were glad that you were there. And they would also put either some really inexpensive perfume or, quote, deodorant on you because you walked everywhere you went, you didn't have running water, you could, and everybody being there was better that everybody kind of just the smell blended in and it was a good thing. Simon didn't do any of that. He didn't show any kind of respect for Jesus in that area. And yet this woman sneaks in and she falls at Jesus' feet knowing who he is somehow, knowing what he is capable of, wanting his forgiveness, wanting his love, wanting a relationship with him. And so she washes his feet with her tears, puts oil on his feet, and Jesus says, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I've been here. Maybe kind of gives us a new revelation to something if somebody says, oh, kiss my feet, right? It's shown as a sign of love in this instance and acceptance. Let's freeze it right there, though, really quick, and we'll go on. We'll come back to her. Today I want you to know that love is a two-way street. Her love for God and our love for God needs to be both given by God and reciprocated by us. And a lot of times in our Christian world today, we equate love and knowledge to be kind of the same thing at times. I used to be a mechanic, and I worked for John Deere for several years, and every once in a while they would send out a technical representative to make sure that our warranty claims were being done correctly. And there were times when this technical advisor would come to me and say, well, you charged too much for this, or you charged us too much, or you didn't do the job right. And my response to him was always, how many times have you done this? And a lot of times, the technical advisor went to college to be a mechanic, but it actually never turned a dirty wrench in his life. He'd always worked on clean stuff in a lab and everything, but had never worked on an actual piece of machinery that was being used in the field. And so the knowledge was always, I would much rather have somebody that really knew what they were doing and loved what they were doing than somebody who just, quote, thought they knew how to do the job. And fans of Jesus, they think they know God, but they just really know about him. And there's a big difference between really knowing God and being known by God. So, God wants you... Well, stop. Look, went to the wrong page on my notes. Sorry. I don't use notes that often, but we're doing these sermons, honestly. And so, God knows you already intimately, okay? You have to understand that God made you. Knowing somebody and thinking you know somebody is different. How many of you, since this is a predominantly Chiefs room, how many of you know a lot about Patrick Mahomes? Know who he is? Right? Know he's a quarterback? Okay. Know he's pretty good? Good enough. I'm just kidding. Know he's won some Super Bowls, right? When I was growing up, the quarterback of the day, when I was growing up, was Roger Staubach. I read books. I still have them on my shelves at home. I read books about Roger Staubach. I read books about Tom Landry. I knew about them, but I did not know them. And a lot of times, people's relationship with God is much the same. We read a lot about God, but we don't really know Him. But the cool part about our relationship with God is God already knows us. And He does know us intimately. The Bible says that He knew us when we were in our mother's wombs. That He knit us together with His hands. Nothing will bring me a bigger smile, honestly, than thinking about the fact that the God who created the earth knit me together with His hands. That is just an unbelievable picture for all of us to think about. And the love that He puts into that when He did that for us. There's a word to express a deep love in the Bible. And the Hebrew word is yada, Y-A-D-A. The definition of that word is to know and to be known completely. When we read Genesis chapter 4, and the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived a son, they had a yada moment. Okay? Now, that's the kind of love that God's talking about. Not in the physical, obviously, but in the spiritual. And most of us really should and need to have a yada kind of relationship with God. But we mainly, normally, just have, quote, the one-night stand kind of love with God. Again, not physically, but spiritually. We come to the altar, we say a prayer, and then a lot of times we just leave and go back and do the same thing we've always done. We don't continue to have the fellowship with God that we need to have. We need to realize that being known by God is a special relationship. Learning this teaches me, and all of us, it should teach us, that our relationship with Jesus is something really special. That He wants a special relationship with us. David uses the word yada in Psalms 139. And he says, O Lord, You have examined my heart, and You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say before I say it, Lord. David acknowledged the fact that we serve a God that knows everything about us. One of my hardest struggles in life as a pastor, as a Christian, has always been the fact that God knows everything. He knows everything before it even happens. And I think to myself sometimes, well, Lord, if You knew about it before it happened, why didn't You stop it? Why couldn't You have kept it from happening? Or why didn't You make it happen if You knew it wasn't going to happen and it would have been a good thing? And the question is never answered by God, but it's always one of those things that we have to accept by faith that God knows best. David says, You know who I am. You know what I'm doing. And that shows us and it proves to us that God cares about us and that He's with us every minute of every day. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He can be with you, ministering to you, keeping you safe, providing for you at the same time that He's with me, keeping me safe, protecting me. And just, it's unbelievable to think about that. And so when the Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, He loved the world. He loves everybody in it. Last week we talked about the fact that anyone can be a follower of Jesus. He knows everyone intimately. So the question is not, does God know you and want a relationship with you? The question is simply, do you want God and do you want a relationship with Him? So God wants you to know Him. Again, He wants you to know Him in a intimate way. And again, that doesn't fit a lot of our mindsets or definition of what we consider intimacy. But intimacy is being known and knowing completely. For some crazy reason, God offered us an invitation to be a part of His kingdom. He created Adam and Eve, put them in a perfect place, gave them a wonderful place to live. It was a place with one rule. How many of you would be good if there was only one rule to keep, you think? Right? It's like, if there was only one, I could do that. Well, Adam and Eve are proof that you can't. All right? That you would figure it out. You would figure out a way because of your curiosity or whatever you want to call it. You would figure out a way to break that one rule. And we ended up where we're at. We're born in a sinful world. And we need to understand that God wants us to want to get to know Him again. Adam and Eve had a wonderful relationship with God. The Bible says that they walked and they talked with God in the cool of the day. But after the fall, they lost that ability. When Jesus died on the cross, He restored that kind of fellowship. And when He left this earth, He left the Holy Spirit for us so that He could dwell with us and be inside us all the time. And it's a mystery why the God that created the universe would want to do that. But He did. And so our job is to try to want that same type of relationship with Him too. The problem is that most of the time, when you think about getting into a intimate relationship, you realize that there are risks of getting into an intimate relationship. You become vulnerable. People get hurt in relationships. I can guarantee that God will never hurt you. But God will point out some things in our lives when we want that relationship that He would rather us change, that He wants us to change. And He's not going to stop until we do. The Holy Spirit will convict. But we have to take that first step towards Him. And the girl or the lady at Simon's house, she took that first step. She wanted forgiveness. She wanted acceptance. And Jesus was there to give it to her. And if we make the step to try to know Him, He will do that for us. Jesus told the story of the two people that owed a great debt. He says, if somebody owes a lot of money or somebody owes little, who's going to love me more if I forgive the debt? And He said, the person that's been forgiven much. And when I was a kid, I always kind of thought, well, that means I don't love God very much because I grew up in a Christian home. I never, quote, got off into, quote, what the world or what other people would say was really bad sin. So I'm going to be forgiven a little and other people are going to love Him more than I do because they've been forgiven a lot. And I've come to realize that I don't care what you've done a lot and you can love God a lot and God loves you a lot. So I want us to leave with this kind of thought in our mind today. Fans choose knowledge. And followers embrace intimacy. In the church world, honestly, we have kind of failed to embrace this concept. we have focused a lot, and rightfully so to a certain extent, we have focused a lot on a system of learning about God. We come to church. We have sermons that try to help us know who He is. We have Sunday school. We have Bible studies. We memorize Scripture, and we do it to our kids too. We send them to junior church, and we want them to learn the stories. And don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with reading your Bible and learning about God. But if it stops there, we have a problem. And if it starts there, there's a danger that it will stop in the head. Hopefully we can get it started in the heart first. Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and then your body and soul. But I think He had a reason for saying your heart first. When somebody says, I love you, and they want to really emphasize it, they say, I love you with all of my heart. If you say, I love you with all my mind, you kind of go, what does that mean? When you know somebody and they say, well, they got a really good personality, you're like, that's not the person I want to know. You know, I want to know somebody who loves me with their heart. And so we have to want that kind of love. Will you decide to get to know Jesus? Will you embrace that close fellowship that He wants? Again, we know a lot about Him in our heads. But some people will miss heaven by 12 inches. The distance between your heart and your head. Because while knowledge is great, it can be a dangerous thing. We really need to love God with our heart. Stand with me this morning. Father, we don't think a lot at times about how we should love You. We say things like, I love You, and I love the Lord, and I'm glad that He's in my life, and I don't know what I'd do without Him if He wasn't there. We sing songs that talk about the fact that You're sweeter as the days go by, and that we learn to love You more the longer we serve You. But Father, I think today we really just need to step back and ask ourselves, how much do we really love You? And kind of compare it to the way we love our spouse or our parents or our kids, and know that we really should love You more. If we're really going to be Your disciples, we really need to love You with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Give us the desire to do that, and give us the willingness to be vulnerable enough to really pour our hearts out to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.